Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 2, and we'll begin our study number 10 for today. Now let us pray before we get any further into the lesson. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, be a blessing and a help and a strength. Touch our hearts, our ears, our mouth, and Lord, may you today use us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now with your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2, Paul says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm going to give you an outline, a little more outline today than what I've been giving out of verses 1 and verse number 2 that you might be able to build upon. Now, first of all, we want to talk about the greeter. The greeter is Paul, verse number 1. Then we find the greeter's title in verse number 1. He's an apostle, if you'll see, in verse 1. Then we'll find the greeter's authority. He's authority. He's an apostle by the authority. And it says, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. That is his authority. Then we find the greeter's strength. And he draws strength from this because he says, which is our hope. Then in verse number 2, we find the greeted. The greeted is unto Timothy in verse number 2. And then we find the greeter's relationship to the greeted, which is Paul's relationship to Timothy. And it says, my own son in the faith. Then we find the greeting. The greeting is grace, mercy, and peace. Verse number 2. And then we find the greeting's author. And that is from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, found in verse number 2. Now in our last study, which was study number 9, we looked at the statement in verse number 2 in the faith. We previously seen the greeter in the 1 Timothy in verse 1, his Paul. And in verse number 2, we see the greeted, which is Timothy. Now today, in this study, we will see the greeting and expound on a part of the greeting of the Apostle Paul. This greeting will take more than one lesson, I'll guarantee you. We'll be looking at the greeting by itself, which is grace, mercy, and peace. These are only three little words, but they have a lot of meaning. We'll try to get as much as we possibly can out of them. Then we'll look at the origin or the author of this greeting. And that is our plans as of right now, unless we're directed otherwise by the Holy Ghost of God. Now keep in mind that 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and I remind you again this, I've said it several times, are called the pastoral epistles. These have been given to us to show us how to operate the church within the scope and control of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Now these are divine orders. That's what these are. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. They're divine orders of the Lord to the Lord's bride, the church. That's what the church is. The church is the bride of Christ. Now these three books are to prepare the bride for His coming. And if they're studied correctly, you'll see that they'll exactly do that. Amen. Now, we need to keep in mind when studying these three books, these things. In our modern day, we seem to have let the outside control of committees and church members dictate how we operate the church, and you know, more than we allow the Scriptures or allow the Holy Spirit to do the work of God in the midst of the church. We just don't let the Holy Spirit seem to lead, nor the Spirit, nor the Word of God to lead us. Unfortunately, many churches today are directed by preachers, denominations, and spiritual leaders, so-called. I don't believe all of them are real. And they're operated by that more than we are operated by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now that's sad, but it's true. And that's the truth if you look at it. Most of the time the Holy Scriptures nor the Holy Ghost have any say-so whatsoever in the operation of the internal affairs of the church. People just go by what they feel, what they think, what they want to do, and that's not right. God has given us the order out of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus on how that we ought to control ourselves and how we ought to operate the church of the living God. Now, most of the time, prominent or influential members of the church are doing the controlling. Sometimes just controlling women do it. I've seen that happen many times. They'll make good decisions on how to operate the church, what the church should do, what the church can't do, what the church ought to do, and so forth. Now, it's been my experience that most churches down through the years, they're controlled by some kind of clique, some kind of, you know, by maybe the deacon board or some kind of family. So it may have little cliques in the family or some kind of dominant woman or something, some strong leader. They'll get in there and run the thing. Now, the three words, grace, mercy, and peace, are used together as these are grace, mercy, and peace. In that order, they're used only three times in the Scriptures, and they are used in 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, and Titus 1:4. And isn't it amazing how it's in these pastoral epistles that he puts that greeting in there? In previous lessons, we've said that these three epistles are letters, if you want to call them letters, are to individuals, and they are. They're to Timothy and to Titus, and all the rest of them are to particular churches. But these are written to Timothy and Titus. And the reason that is because these two are being mentored and taught and trained to take the place of the Apostle Paul. These epistles are written to these two because they're going to be the pastors and the leaders of the church when Paul fades off the scene and he's getting closer to the end of his trail. Now, Paul is training. He's teaching. He's telling them what God expects for them to do in the church and how to operate the church. He's doing this to the same way today that all the churches in our present time as well. We're not the Timothys and we're not the Tituses, but we are the leaders of the church, and he's not speaking to us directly by name as Titus and Timothy, but he's speaking to us as the leaders or the pastors of the church. These letters are our rules and our regulations. Matter of fact, if you want to call it that, it's our operator's manual. Praise God. If you want to know how to operate the church, get the operator's manual out. 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. I want to give you these words, grace, mercy, and peace, and I want to bring them to you and kind of give you the times and the amount of times they are used in the Scriptures. Grace is mentioned over 160 times in the Bible, and it means favor or acceptance, and there's a lot of other words you could put with it, but it means that they're accepted, that it's unearned, unmerited favor. It's an Old Testament, and it's also a New Testament word. Now, the word mercy, the second one, it's mentioned over 260 times in the Bible. And it's an Old Testament word and a New Testament word. We'll be studying it in another lesson ahead. But then the other word, peace, peace is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. And it's an Old Testament, a New Testament word. Now, all of us need grace. And all of us have to have grace, and all of us do not obtain grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, grace is what I call, and I've got it simplified where I can grasp it and understand it a little bit. It's unearned, unmerited, and undeserved favor from God. Amen. The sinful man. God has given us that. Now, grace has come to all. Now, the Bible said in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I like that word, all men. Jesus died for all, and the grace of God has appeared to all. Notice the truths in this verse. I kind of broke it down. You'll see it. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." First of all, for the grace of God. The grace of God, the unearned, unmerited favor toward man. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," this grace brings salvation. There's no salvation outside the grace of God. "Hath appeared." God hath already given us and showed us that grace, and it hath appeared to all the men. Now we'll deal with this first word in the greeting, which is grace. I want to give you an acrostic, if you will. Put down G-R-A-C-E and put the G and then the R under it and the A and then the C and the E. And out from the G, you can put God's G-O-D apostrophe S. and under the R put redemption, and then under the A put at, and under the C put Christ, and under the E put expense. And then you'll have that grace, G-R-A-C-E. And so grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. Now the first mention of the word grace in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It did not say, God did not say that Noah found grace in the eyes of man. It didn't say that Noah found grace in some institution, but it said God found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what really counts anyhow. Now we find that Noah preached righteousness. He did. For 120 years, righteousness is right living. And he preached that. His message was rejected. Those who rejected his message, they perished in the flood. Only 8 souls accepted the preaching of Noah, including himself. Only 8 souls come out of the ark and came out of the flood. To refuse God's message is to pay the ultimate price for the rejection. Amen. And that ultimate price is an eternity in hell without God. So we got to remember that. There is what we call the first mention principle in the Bible. And that is the first time you find something mentioned in the Bible, you get the meaning of it, figure out what it was telling you, and then you can go right on from that. Usually it carries that same meaning all the way down through the Scriptures. So grace in the Bible is the grace in the eyes of the Lord, not in the eyes of man. Grace is a gift of God. It's not earned, it's not bought, it's not bargained. It's given to sinful men by a loving and living God. Now, I want to remind you this, that the last mention of the word grace is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 21. The Bible said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." This is the last verse of the Bible. This unmerited favor carries all the way down through the Bible. The law, or the last word of the Bible is amen. God puts His stamp of approval on His word by saying amen at the end. God gets the last word always. Notice the breakdown of this verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, be with you all. Third, amen. This will not be an exhaustive study when we study the word of grace. That would require volumes to be written. It would require a lifetime to tell it. And then the hype would not even have been told by the time we get through all of it. Our life would be over. For centuries, and messages have been preached, and books have been written, and man can't explain the grace of God, even today, with all his knowledge. Paul knew about the grace of God. He experienced it on the road to Damascus, when he was struck down with conviction and got converted or saved by the grace of God. He preached it in all his sermons and used it in all his writings. All 14 books of New Testament that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and many verses in the book of Acts recorded about him mentions the word grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." God has grace for every need of our lives. Paul has described the different kinds of grace in his writings, and so has some of the other writers and authors of the Word of God. And we'll look at some of them. I'll kind of give you a little bit of an outline right here, and then I'll close, and we'll pick up another subject on grace in our next lesson, lesson 11. Let me give you a quick outline about grace, and then we'll pursue each as an individual point. Number one, there's saving grace. Number two, there's sanctifying grace. Number three, there's serving grace. Number four, there's strengthening grace. Number five, there's singing grace. Number six, there's speaking grace. Number seven, there's standing grace. Number eight, there's sufficient grace. And that's just the ones that start with an S. And we'll pick up some others. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. We're not going to make a long study, but it'll be a pretty lengthy study when we come to this book to this word grace. Thank God for the grace of God. I'm glad that the grace of God is real. And it's by the grace of God that we are what we are. Thank God for His grace, His undeserved, unmerited favor that He gives to you and me. Not because we deserve it, not because we need it, not because we want it, and not because He likes the way we look and talk and live. It's just because He loves us. And we'll explain to you a little bit about that grace as we go on. Amen. May God bless you. Looking forward to the next lesson number 11. Amen and amen.